So we started here on Daf Beis Amud Beis. Maybe we'll go back a little bit just to review what we did on Beis Amud Aleph on the bottom. The Gemara was bothered by the fact that the Pasuk Pesach Ol Moed, which was the source for the Tanakhama, to conclude that the highest point of the Korah would have to be Esrim Amma, but not above Esrim Amma, because of the Pesach Ol Moed, which is called the Pesach HaHechal. So the Gemara says that Pasuk is referring to the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan there was no Ulam at all. So that in the case of the Pesach HaMishkan, if there was no Ulam, then the height of the Mishkan would be determined by the height of the length of the boards, or the krushim that we used to build the Mishkan. And the height of the Mishkan, therefore, could not be greater than 10 amos. We're saying that it goes up to 20 amos, but that's only in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you derive the law of Pesach HaHechal or Pesach HaUlam, the height of the Pesach of the Hechal Ulam, when we're talking about the Mishkan? The height of the Mishkan was maximum 10 amos. So the Gemara goes on to say that we're going to derive from Sukkim that the Mishkan is called the Mikdash, and the Mikdash is called the Mishkan. And these terms are sort of, if you could say, interchangeable. And the Torah calls the Mishkan a Mikdash, and the Mikdash a Mishkan. And therefore, the Dinim are going to be equal. So for example, we mentioned yesterday the Halach of Shmuel, which he derives from the Pasuk V'shachto Pesach Ol Moed in the Parasha of Shlomim, that the Shechita of the Shlomim in the morning has to come after the Psichas HaHechal. And if you shech the Korban before the Psichas HaHechal, then it's not a valid Shechita. And how do we derive that as halacha ledoros, meaning for all generations, meaning for the Beis HaMikdash itself, when this pasuk is written in the parasha of the Mishkan? But the answer is that whatever it says in the parasha of the Mishkan applies to the Mikdash as well. And therefore, if the Torah says v'shachto Pesach Ol Moed with regard to the Mishkan, then that would apply to the Mikdash as well. And if that be the case, then if the Torah says that the Pesach is the Pesach of the Heichal, we can look at the Pesach of the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. And if there's a Pesach HaUlam, we can look at the Pesach HaUlam in the Mikdash, because whatever it says in the Parsha of Mishkan applies to the Mikdash as well. And finally, the Gemara here at the top of Daf Beis Amud Beis proves from various Psukim that when it says Mishkan, the same parshios in Mishkan apply to the Beis HaMikdash. So whenever you if you decide based on the Psukim that describe the Heichal and the Mishkan that there's a Pesach to the Heichal and the Mishkan, then we just have to learn from the Beis HaMikdash exactly what the height of the Heichal was in the Beis HaMikdash. And the height of the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash was 20 amos high. So what we're up to for today is the Gemara here on the second line of Beis Amud Beis, Bein L'Rabbanan. And at this point, the Gemara is going back to the fact that our Mishnah has established that the Pesach HaMavui can be established as a what we call a tikkun or a heter to allow you to carry the mavui with either a lechi or a korah. And we said that the opening of this mavui, the Pesach HaMavui, that lends itself to the heter of lechi or korah should not be wider than 10 amos. And the Gemara now is going to ask Akasha, according to Rav, who has explained in the previous Gemara that we learned on Amud Aleph, that the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yudin and Mishnah is whether Pesach refers to the Pesach HaHechal or to the Pesach HaUlam. And now the Gemara is going to ask Akasha about the Shir Rochav. The Rochav, the width of the Pesach, according to our Mishnah, has to be 10 amos and not more than 10 amos. And the Gemara is going to ask the following, Bein l'Rabbanan u'Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not you learn Pesach in Mavui from Pesach in Hechel or Pesach in Mavui from Pesach in Ulam, why is it that the Pesach cannot be wider than 10 amos? Lelfu mi Pesach shar hachotzer. Now we should derive the shear of the rochav of the Pesach from the Pesach shar hachotzer, because the word Pesach appears even with regard to the chotzer of the Mishkan. And the chotzer of the Mishkan is called Pesach. And the rochav of the Pesach Shar HaChotzer was actually 20 amos. So why does that Mishnah assume that the Pesach for a Mavui has to be no wider than 10 amos? It should be like the Pesach of the Shar HaChotzer in the Mishkan, which was 20 amos wide. The Pasuk says, and here we're going to need a Chumash. Yesterday we brought a Chumash here. So we'll, maybe if you don't mind Gershon opening up the Chumash. So we'll see that there's a phrase called Pesach Shar HaChotzer. So the word Pesach refers to the Pesach of the Chotzer. And we're going to see that the Pesach of the Chotzer is 20 amos wide. And again, that's going to be our next project here, so to speak, a mini project, to prove that the Pesach HaChotzer was 20 amos wide. And the Gemara is assuming now that as far as the width of the Pesach for Mavui purposes, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we're going to derive it from the Pesach of the Heichal. Shelo yeh Pesach haMavui rochuv yosef me'aser amos. That the widest opening for the Mavui in terms of its width would be up to but not beyond eser amos. So this Gemara's kasha here is Bein l'Rabbanan u'Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda. Later on, we're going to see that the Gemara backtracks on this assumption, and the Gemara interprets Rabbi Yehuda as disagreeing even with regard to the Pesach HaMavui, with regard to the Rochav Yosef Amos, that Rabbi Yehuda accepts a wider opening than Eser Amos. But right now the Gemara is assuming that as far as the Rochav is concerned, even Rabbi Yehuda is on board with the Rabbanan that the maximum Rochav is going to be Eser Amos, not beyond Eser Amos. Therefore the Gemara is going to ask Akasha from the Pesach HaChotzer. Now, around the Chotzer, the Mishkan, there were Amudei HaChotzer. I have a little picture of it here. The Amudei HaChotzer. And there was a 4 Amos distance between one Amud and the next Amud. Now, on top of these Amudim, of these little poles or pillars, they put what's called klonsos. Klonsos are motos shel eitz. Now, on top of that, they put these curtains, which are called klaim. In Hebrew, they're called vilonot. And the vilonot were what we call maisa reshet michute pishton kfulim shisha. Maisa choshe. Again, so we'd have to go through some of the psukim here about the building of the Mishkan that we're going to read in the parashas coming up. But in any event, they used to take double double threads of linen, and they used to weave them together when they were kfulim shisha. They would wrap them around six times. This was a maisa chosha, means it required a certain professionalism, and that's how they would sew together these vilonos that were sort of braided, if you will, and those are called the kloim. The kloim. So we'll see inside the psukim about the kloim. And the pasuk that we're going to focus our attention on is v'chameshesrei ama kloim lekotef. Chameshesrei ama kloim lekotef. So that's in Shmos Perek Chav Zayin. If you could open up,
yes, it's right there,
to the 27th chapter of the book of Shmos. And we're going to look first at pasuk Yud Dalid, and then we're going to fast forward to pasuk Yud Ches. So you want to do that for us, Gershon, read the pasuk? That's all we need right now. We'll see another pasuk later on, the next pasuk. But first, how would you translate that pasuk?
Well, they translate it as, and 15 cubits of lace hangings, they're called klayim lace hangings, on the shoulder, their pillars three and their sockets three. And it shows a picture of that.
So again, so if you just go over one more time, if you don't mind, for those of us who are slow like me, klayim lakotef is what? Lace?
Hangings,
okay. So I think the word hangings here refer to the things that are hanging on these poles, which we called before the Amudei HaChotzer.
This is what it shows in the film, is here, the lace.
Lace hangings, okay. So they were attached to these Amudei HaChotzer. This is the Chotzer. Yeah. And these are the Kloim. The Kloim are lace hangings that would hang on these pillars or poles, which were situated one next to the other by less than four, up to, but not more than four amos, correct? So let's leave that open. Okay, we will leave that open. Fine. So what do we have over here? Lelfu, they should derive the shear of the Roch HaBapesach, Pesach Shara Chotzer Shalad Mishkan. And the Torah calls the Pesach of the Chotzer, the Torah calls it Pesach. Okay? So in I have a picture here of the Chotzer, and the Chotzer is a rectangular shape. Its length, that's the whole length of this courtyard, is 100 amma, but the Pesach itself is 50 amma. So it's 100 by 50. And we're going to see that the 50 amma is divided up into three different parts as we go through this sugya, till we finally decide, you know, what is the final width of the airspace, so to speak, at the Pesach Shar HaChotzer. And that's going to be a lot more than Eser Amos, maybe even twice that amount. Esrim Amos. Dichsiv. So now we're embarking upon this mission to try to figure out what is the width of the Pesach Shar HaChotzer. So the first pasuk that we want to quote in the same chapter, Chav Zayin, is in pasuk Yud Ches. I'll read it to you in Hebrew, and you could read it to me in the English translation. Orech HaChotzer. So again, this is the length of the Chotzer. Is Mea Amma. And again, we said it was a rectangle, so Rochev is Chamishim BeChamishim. Now that's a very strange phrase. It could have said V'Rochav Chamishim Amma. But what's Chamishim BeChamishim? Rashi has a whole discussion about that. Let's see how he translates this pasuk into English. So it's pasuk 18.
The length of the courtyard 100 cubits, the width 50 by 50, and the height of 5 cubits.
Right, so this 50 by 50 is very strange because we're talking about one flank, if you know what I'm saying. So what does it mean 50 by 50? So as I said, there's going to be a discussion here in Rashi about Chamishim Bachamishim. But in any event, let's, for the time being, leave out this discussion about Chamishim b'Chamishim. There's actually going to be a sugya about this, Chamishim b'Chamishim, later on in this Masechta, on Daf Chav Gimel, but we're not ready for that. Rashi already gives us a little bit of a heads up on that sugya. But let's read it in the simplest way. It means that the Rochav was 50 Amah. And again, the height was 5 Amah. Correct? Right, because it says the Koma. Yeah, now keep in mind, the Koma would really reflect on those Kloim, right? The Kloim, which we said were these pillars. I don't know, how does he translate the word Kloim into English? Did you remember that by any chance? You told me before.
Lace hangings.
Hangings. Okay,
lace,
so I don't.
Lace hangings.
Yeah, I don't know what he means by hangings. I would say the kloim on the curtains themselves. That's what I would say.
Yeah, well, it's,
maybe that's what he means by hangings.
Yeah,
so he calls them lace hangings. I would call them lace curtains. I mean, that's a little easier for me. And the lace hangings or curtains were 5 amma high. So in any event, it's clear that the Rochev, the width of the Chatzah Mishkan, was 50 Amah. Okay, now we're going to cut down that 50 Amah. Why are we going to cut it down? Because it's not open. It's not 50 Amah that's open. Right? We're talking about the Pesach that's completely open. So what was completely open? Not all the 50 Amah were completely open. Uksiv. And now we have another pasuk, which is right there, pasuk Yudalit, right? That's verse 14. I'm going to read it to you in Hebrew, and it says that on the eastern side of this Pesach HaChotzer, it says Chameshesre Ama Kloim LaKotev. So, in other words, the Kloim, these lace curtains or hangings, were not on three sides of this rectangle alone, but they also were placed on the fourth side, meaning the side of the Pesach itself. So the Pesach is not totally open. And there, how much of the width is taken up by the Kloim? Lakotif means on the right side. On the eastern side, that's 15 amas worth. Uksiv, that's in Pasuk Yudal, which we'll read in a second in English, but now we'll go to Pasuk Tesvav 15. It says, Lakotef Hashenis, let's say on the western side, meaning towards your left, is Mizel Mizel Sharachot, Kloim Chameshisrei Amma. So the Kloim, these curtains, even on the Pesach of the Chatzer, took up 15 Am on this side, 15 Am on this side, for a total of how much?
30
Am. So what you're left with is, you're left with the Pesach, which was 50 Am, but 30 Am out of the 50 Am were closed off by curtains. So how much open space are you left? Right in the middle? That's going to be 20 Am. Mala halon, Chamesh Berochav Esrim, Afkan, Chamesh Berochav Esrim. It means, as far as the Gova is concerned, on both sides it was 5 amas high, but as far as the Rochav is concerned, it was Esrim Amma. And if that be the case, if the Pesach HaChotzer is opened by Esrim Amma, Afkan, here too, the Mavui, if we want to know whether or not we could be metakin a mavui, and the mavui now has to be a mirror image of a Pesach, and if we're using now Pesach HaChotzer as our paradigm of a Pesach, then the Rochav for a mavui should be a Pesach of Rochav Esrim. And if that be the case, then we don't understand neither Rabbi Yehuda nor the Rabbanan, both of whom agree that the maximum width or opening into the Mavui, the Pesach HaMavui, should be not 10 Amah, as it says in our Mishnah, but rather 20 Amah. Now he adds another sentence here in the name of the Rashba. I'll just read it to you and we'll see if it makes sense to us. He says, Kol Shkein Shepesach Hagavoa Esrim Amo Yeshlach Shiro Afilum Hu Rochav Esrim Amo. Meaning, in the case of the height of the Pesach HaMavui, for purposes of Mavui, we said that it is up to Esrim Amo. Let's go back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah clearly says, Mavoi Shugavol Lemalami Esrim Amo Yimayik. Why? Because it went above the maximum height that we allow. The maximum height that we allow is 20 Amo. So if the Pesach, in the case of the Chatzer, is, as we said, 20 Amo Barochav, it's wide open by 20 Amo, then how much more so in the Pesach for the Mavui purposes, which has a Gova of Esrim Amo. Again, the Pesach Chatzer had a Gova of how much? 5 Amo, right? 5 Amo. And now we're talking about the Pesach HaMavui, which has a Gova of Esrim Amo, which we derive from the Pesach HaHechal. How much more so we could derive from the Pesach HaChotzer that you can have an open width of 20 Amo. That's how the Rashba adds something to this Gemara of Ma'ala Halanaf Kan. So why does that Mishnah say that if the Pesach of the Mavui is more than 10 amos wide, then you have to be memayitit, when we should derive from Pesach Shar Chotzer that it could be as wide as 20 amos? And how do we prove 20 amos? Because the Torah says that the Pesach of the Shar Chotzer was 50 amos wide. Then the Torah says that there were 15 amos on each side of Kloim Lakotev, of these hangings, these curtains, so that would reduce the opening from 50 minus 15 plus 15 is 20. You're left with 20 amos. Why does our Mishnah say that the Pesach of the Chotzer, the Pesach for the Mavui, cannot be wider than 10 amos? It should be 20 amos. So now the Gemara is going to completely reject the viability of deriving any status of a Pesach from the Chatzer. And you and I think, and that's what the Gemara thought, that the opening into the Chatzer is called a Pesach, and therefore could set the standards for what a Pesach is as far as Mavui is concerned. Nein, the Gemara rejects that. Why? Because Pesach Shar HaChatzer Ikri, Pesach Stoma Lo Ikri. The Torah never calls the opening into the Chatzer by the word Pesach, meaning it doesn't say the word Pesach alone, but rather it says Pesach Shar HaChatzer. It's the opening to the gate of the Chatzer. But what would be a Pesach without the word Shar? That we don't know. So we can't derive conclusions about a Mavui from something that's called Pesach Shar HaChatzer. That's the Gemara's first answer. So once again, I want to read to you a note over here that I have here in my Gemara. He writes that Pesach Shar Amur Lios Gadol Yosemi Pesach Stam. That there are two concepts. There's a concept called Pesach, and then there's a concept called Pesach Shar. And the Pesach of a Shar is greater, is larger than a Pesach Stam. And therefore, from the fact that the Torah says that a Pesach Shar, in the case of the Chatzer, is 20 amos wide, we cannot derive any conclusions about the shear of a Pesach Stam when it's not called a Pesach Shar, but called a Pesach, because even though the Torah calls the Shar HaChatzer Pesach Shar HaChatzer, but that's indicative of a much larger kind of Pesach than a regular Pesach, without describing it as a Pesach Shar. And if you open up to Bamidbar Per Gimel, it says there Vesmosach Pesach HaChatzer. And there, it seems that the Torah is using the word Pesach to describe the Chatzer, the Pesach HaChatzer. It doesn't say Pesach Shar HaChatzer. So this is Tosus' Kasha here, Divra Maskel Bain, on the top of the Beis Amid Beis. And Tosus gives the answer that Mikol Makom, Ein Lil Mo Mishom, we don't derive any conclusions from the Pasuk at the beginning of Bamidbar that the Chatzer has what's called a Pesach Stam, and therefore derive the Shear of Esrim Amo, because elsewhere the Torah says that this is called a Pesach Shar. The Ibai Seim in the Gemara says, I can offer you an alternative answer. Kik Siv, when the Torah says, Klaim Chamesh Esrei Amal Kotev, which we interpreted to mean that from the ground and up on the right side and flanking on the left side, we have 15 Amma of Kloim. Kloim means of these curtain hangings. No, that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. That's not the way you have to interpret the Pasuk. But Ebegovahu Dechsiv. What the Pasuk is telling me is about the height of these curtains, not how much space they took up in the Pesach HaShar in the width, but rather its height. As far as the rochav, the width of the area is concerned, the Torah doesn't even tell us what that would be. So again, you wanted to prove from this pasuk that the rochav was 20 amah wide. That's not true, because you arrived at that conclusion based on the calculation of the kloim of 15 amah in each direction. When that's not true, the 15 amah that the Torah is referring to is a reference to the height of the kloim. So the Gemara rejects this outright. Govha? Are you telling me that the pasuk is referring to the height of these curtains? Vaksiv, the Torah says explicitly with regard to the height of the kloim, Vekoma Chamesh Amos. When it says that the height here is 5 amos, it's referring to the kloim. So you can't tell me the kloim are 15 amos. So Gemara says, no, that's not a fair rejection. Why? Hahu, that shear of 5 amos in the height of the curtains is only misfas mizbeach ulamala. So there's something called the mizbach or the mizbeach hachitzon. And the Gemara in Zvachim establishes that the mizbeach hachitzon, which was in the Azara, as opposed to the mizbach hapnimi in the Heichal, was 10 amos high. And the kloim had to be 5 amos higher than the mizbeach. This has to do with something called tznius. You and I know that the word tznius translates as modesty, which we usually associate with clothing, you know, how you wear your clothes and so forth, they cover the parts of your body. But now we're talking about a different kind of tznius. The word tznius also refers to something that you do in hiding, you know, you're concealed. Tzanua, you know, it's somebody who's concealed, like the Gemara says about Sholem, his great meat of tznius expressed itself in the fact that he was very, very hidden about certain of his
private.
Excellent, private. Right. So the word tznius means private. Now, what kind of element of privacy enters into the equation as far as the avodas hamizbeach is concerned? Meaning that we want the kloim to be 5 amos above the height of the mizbeach. The avoda of the Kohen required that he go up on the top of the Mizbeach. He would climb up 10 Amos onto the top of the Mizbeach. I'm talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And the Kloim, which were around the Chotzer, would make it impossible for anyone to see, to observe, what the Kohenim are doing on the top of the Mizbeach, because the Kloim rose 5 Amos above the 10 Amos height of the Mizbeach. And that's called, in the Lashon HaShas, Kedei Shelo Yiru Ha'omdim Mibachutz Es HaKohen Kshu Omed Al Gavi Mizbeach V'Avodoso Biyodo. That the people standing on the ground outside the Beis HaMikdash should not be able to give a peek and watch the Kohanim as they were doing the Avoda. The Kohanim wanted to do the Avoda in private for any number of reasons. But the point is that we can still defend the position that the pasuk of Chamesh Esrei is referring not to the width, but rather to the height. And if you'll ask me a question, but the pasuk says Koma Chamesh Amos, it means 5 amos above the height of the Mizbeach.
It's impossible. You have to hang the kloim.
As soon as Mitch asks me these questions, I know I'm in trouble, yeah?
You have to hang the kloim from something. The height of the keresh is 5. In order to hang something that's 15 amos high, you have to have at least some crushing that are 15 amos high around the outside.
Right, so I don't, if I'm not mistaken, Mitch, we're not talking about crushing. We're talking about something else. Let's see what the word, if I can give you the proper word here. I think we had it before. Let's see if I can remind myself. Just give me a minute here. They weren't called krushim. I think they were called amudim. I'm not sure if that's a... Here it is. He says, Saviv ha-chatzah mishkan hayu prushim, they were pores amudim. B'merchak shal arba amos bein amud echad li amud hasheni. And these are also called klunsaos, which are motos shal eitz. V'aleim tolu es ha-kloim. So I think these motos or klunsaos or amudim, I think they're three different terms, have nothing to do whatsoever with the krushim. The krushim were used for the building of the Mishkan themselves, but the outside of the chatzer, which was surrounded by these klaim, were held up. The klaim were held up by these poles. Again, I don't know what the exact translation into English. You know, the word klunsos, by the way, is used for a chuppah. Do you remember when there are four people holding up the chuppah? So those poles are called klunsos. So in other words, whenever you want to hold something up high, you use the word klunsos, which I don't know exactly where that comes from. It sounds like a Greek word to me. I don't know. But it's certainly not Lashon Kodesh. Anyway.
You don't show any pictures of those.
Yes, we did have a picture of them, I think, in that Chumash, if I'm not mistaken. Here, in the picture I have, it looks just like, you know, like... what should I say, square poles. But I think in that picture it just looks like regular poles, not these square poles. I do have a diagram here, Mitch. I don't know if this could help you. You have a second over here. Just, you see what he's saying here? You see this line that says Gova 15 Amos. So these are the klunsos, and these are the rios, or the hangings that we call. Do you follow?
Okay.
And this is something that goes all around the chatzer.
All around the chatzer.
All around the chatzer. So the Mishkan itself is inside the chatzer, and there the krushim were only, how much do we say? Five amos high.
So there's something outside.
Yeah, there were poles here going up to hold these klum, and they were 15 amma high. Now, I'm not sure if we pass it like this, Lavaskota, but right now, that's what the Gemara is holding.
This is a 5 and that's a 15. Okay.
Yeah. And again, it's interesting that this would create a privacy. That's why I wanted to read one more footnote to you about the privacy issue. And he says the following. He says that there's a Shita Rabbi Yossi in Zvachim, that the Mizbeach in the Mishkan was 10 amos high. Rabbi Yehuda has a whole different shita in Masechta Zvachim about the height of the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yossi, as the Gemara says here in Masechta Erevin, the Mizbeach was 10 amos high and the Klaim were 15 amos high. And what that did was, it guaranteed the privacy of the Kohen HaOved. He has a question here about the Rosh, the head of the Kohen. Apparently you could see the head of the Kohen even higher than 15 Amma. In other words, the 15 Amma privacy that was provided by the Kohen did not cover his head. The head of the Kohen would pop up above the 15 amos, because he was standing on top of the Mizbeach, which was 10 amos high. But he says that Es Havoda Shabiyado Lo Ra'u, but the Avoda that he did with his hands, that they couldn't see. And that's the way we're learning this sugya. However, it seems that although Rashi interprets that the five amos was the additional height on top of the 10 amos, but he, apparently there's another girsa. I don't know, he has a discussion here which is not for us. Okay. Now, the Gemara is about to question all the premises that we've been operating with. The Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar? Is it really possible, is it tenable to take that interpretation that Rabbi Yehuda derives the shear of a Pesach Movi from the Pesach of the ulam, which we said was much higher than 20 amma, perhaps as high as 40 amma, and now the Gemara is going to say it's even higher than 40 amma. Vatnan, the Mishnah says, V'harachav me eser amos yemait, v'lo poli Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah says that if the width of the mavui is more than 10 amos, that's not going to be a mavui that lends itself to tikkun mavui. They have to be memayated to make sure that the rochav is 10 amos or less. And Rabbi Yehuda says nothing. From the acquiescence of Rabbi Yehuda, apparently he agrees that the rochav, maximum rochav, the width of the Pesach going into the mavui, is 10 amos. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda derives it from Pischo Shel Ulam, then the Pischo Shel Ulam actually had a rochav of 20 amma, not 10 amma. Omar Abaye Poli Bebraisa, even though the Mishnah doesn't record the argument and the dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Rochav, which means that just like Rabbi Yehuda derives from Pesach Shel Ulam that the Pesach of the Mavui could be higher than 20 amma, so to the width of the opening into the Mavui, like the opening into the Ulam, could be Esrim amma. And that wasn't recorded in our Mishnah, but it was recorded in the Braisa. And the purpose of the Braisa is to add that which was omitted from the Mishnah. But again, we'll have to ask, why was it omitted from the Mishnah? Tisanya, we learned in a Braisa, Veharachav me eser amos yemait. If the opening into the Mavui is more than 10 amos, we have to lower it, we have to diminish that opening. It means we'll put up curtains here and curtains there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer eino tzarch lemait. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says in the Braisa that it could be a width of that's greater than Eser Amos, which would again reflect his Shita that we derive Pesach from the Ulam. So the Gemara right away asks, Liflog Masnisen, why didn't the Mishnah itself mention that Rabbi Yehuda argues in terms of the width of the Pesach? And the Gemara answers, Polig Begovav Huadin L'Roch, for the Mishnah didn't feel it was necessary to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda argues with both with regard to the height, which means it could go above Esrim Tvachim, and with regard as well to the Rochav, which would be beyond Teser Tvachim, because it's all based on one Yisod, namely that Rabbi Yehuda derives the definition of Pesach from Pischo Shel Ulam, which was higher than 20 Amma, and therefore Memela we have to know, and we can figure that out on our own, that he would derive likewise from the Pesach Ulam that the Rochav could be more than 10 amma, it could be 20 amma. So the Braisa spells out that which the Mishnah felt we understood logically on our own. Bakati, the Gemara thinks it was still not out in the clear. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar, what about another Braisa that says that mavui shehu gavoa mi esrim amma yemait? Rabbi Yehuda machshir. And here the Braisa says, Ad arboim v'chamisha amma. And not only that, Tani bar Kapar, Ad mea amma. So this is really strange. Why? Because even if I grant you that Rabbi Yehuda derives the Pesach Mamovui from the Pesach of the Ulam, well, the Pesach of the Ulam was 40 amma high. And here the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda was machshir the Pesach Mamovui, even if it was 45 amma high. What's more so is that Bar Kapara says even if it was 100 amma high. How do we reconcile this Braisa with our premise that Rabbi Yehuda is based on an equation to Pesach Shel Ulam. The Pesach Shel Ulam was only 40 Amah high. So Gemara says, Bishleim Lebar Kapora. There's no additional kasha here from Bar Kapora. Says even 100 Amah. That's called a Guzma. In other words, it could be that Rabbi Yehuda might say up to 40 Amah, but Bar Kapora uses a Guzma. Guzma is like an exaggeration. What it means is that if the Chachamim say it's got to be up to 20 Amah, Rabbi Yehuda says, 100 Amah, meaning twice that amount. That's what 100 Amah means. So that's fine. But Ella, but what about this Brisa that quotes Rabbi Yehuda? And the Brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda is machshir to 40, 45 Amah. My Guzma, to change from 40 to 45, that's not an exaggeration. So the Gemara says, Bishleim el Rabbi Yehuda arboim shegomar mipischo shalul melech hamishim minolan. We can understand that Rabbi Yehuda derives from the Gover, the Pesach, from the Ulam. He could derive 40 Amah. That makes sense. But hamishim minole, how does he derive that the Pesach could be 50 Amah? Now, where does the Gemara get this 50 Amah from? I mean, in my Brisa it says ad arboim v'chamisha am, arboim v'chamishim am. Oh, I see. It's a comma. It's not 45, but it's 40 or 50. There's a comma there. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Ad arboim comma, and the vav is o chamishim am. Right? I read it as arboim v'chamishim, meaning 45, but then it would have said arboim v'chamisha, not chamishim. Okay, my mistake. Sorry. Oh. So now we have a real problem because Rabbi Yehuda in this Brisa is saying that the Mavui could have a height of 50 Amah, and we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda derived his conclusion from Pesach Ulam. The Pesach Ulam was only 40 Amah high, not 50 Amah high. So that's where we're holding now. Now, I'm going to add a word to the Gemara. Don't take me seriously, but I, just for pedagogical purposes, I would add the word Ella. Ella Amar Rav Chisda. Because I think that Rav Chisda is now going to make an about face on what we've been assuming is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And he says the following, Hamas Nisa at Isay L'Rav, this Brisa caused Rav to make an error. This Sanya, we learned in a Brisa, Mavui Shehu Gavoa Mi Esrim Amo. It means Yosemi Pischo Shel Heichal, because the Pesach Lehechal we said was 20 Amah. You might. Fine, that's the logic of the Chachamim. And who, meaning Rav Savar, Midr Rabbanim Pischo Shel Heichal Gamri, Rabbi Yehuda Pischo Shel Ulam Gamar. So Rav assumed that since the Brisa identifies the Sheet of the Chachamim as deriving Pesach Shel Mavui from Pesach Shel Heichal, and hence the Gova is maximum 20 Amah, it makes sense to derive the next sentence, the next conclusion of Rabbi Yehuda holds that we should derive a Pesach of Mavui from Pischo Shel Ulam. But no, that's Velohi. That's a big mistake. And now we're completely revamping the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, mi Pischa de Malachin Gomar. He's not looking at the Tanakh. He's looking at the reality. And in the reality, the palaces of the kings are very, very high. Much higher than 20 Amah. Exactly how high they are, I don't know. But in any event, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that the Pesach of Mavui should not exceed the Gova of the Pesach of the palaces. In Hebrew, they're called Armonot. In Aramaic, it's called Pischa de Melachim, the palaces of the kings, that are very, very high. Now, is there any place in Tanakh, and here I'm going to need your help, I think we have a Tanakh here somewhere, But is there anywhere in Tanakh which indicates that the palaces of the king were very, very high? So here we have a Tosus HaRosh who quotes a pasuk in, and this is very appropriate for us, Megillas Esther. So this is in the fifth chapter of Megillas Esther. It says, "Vamelech Yoshev al Kisei Malchuso beBeis HaMalchus Nochach Pesach HaBoyis." Okay, fine. So it says that Achashverosh sat on the throne of the king in a bayis, which is called the Beis HaMalchus. And he sat Nochach Pesach HaBayis. I guess he wanted to make sure that no assassins would be coming in through the Pesach HaBayis. So he sat in a way that he could see. He had an eye view of the Pesach HaBayis. Fine. But that doesn't tell you exactly what the height was. But nevertheless, it does use the word Pesach in Tanakh to refer the base, to the Beis HaMalchus. Which is exactly what our Gemara is saying. Pischa de Melochim means the Pesach HaBayis, or the Armon in modern Hebrew, of the Melochim. And that's called the Pesach as well. Here in Tanakh, it's called the Pesach. Now, what was the height of a Pesach? So, the Torah doesn't tell us, the Tanakh doesn't tell us anything in Megillas Esther, but we can make an assumption when we look around at the various palaces. You know, maybe you have to buy a book of, you know, illustrated book of palaces, king's palaces around the world, over history, and we'll find out that the openings to these palaces were higher than 20 amma. Exactly how high they are, I don't know. But apparently, higher than 20 amma. Now, we just said before that Rabbi Yehuda argues against the Tanakhama, even as far as Rochav, right? The Rochav, maximum Rochav, according to Tanakhama, was 10 amma. And we said, Poli Begova, who had been L'Rochva. So now we can begin to take, again, that same book that I referred to before, which is called Architectural Historical Palaces, and we can look at the Rochav of the palaces. And we'll find out that the Rochav, the width on the outside, was more than 10 amos. Again, exactly how much it was, I don't know. But it was certainly more than 10 amos per Rochav. Now the Ritva makes the following comment. He says, Rav lo ta legamre bidas Rav Yehuda. It wasn't that Rav made a total error with regard to Rav Yehuda. Mishum she Rav Yehuda omer bebraisa shemutar ad gova arboim v'chamishim amo. Even Rav Yehuda himself is quoted in the braisa saying that the maximum height would be 40 or 50 amo. She omer lehem Rav Yehuda l'chachomim. Rav Yehuda was talking to Chachom, he says, Ad shatem lomdu mi pesach ha-heichal tilmedu mi pesach ha-ulam shahoya arboim amo. Yeah, but the question is, what does he mean 40 or 50? Do you follow? Rabbi Yehuda, when he mentions 40 or 50, he's certainly referring to the ulam, and that's where Rav is correct. But what Rav Chisda is changing here is that when Rabbi Yehuda said 40 or 50, meaning the height of the ulam, what he was saying is that what forces you, compels to accept Pesach HaHecha, why not Pesach HaUlam? And then you'll come up with 40 or 50. Va'emes, Shani Machshir Af B'Chamishim Amo Kipischei Molochim. Ah, so the 40 Amo, which refers to the 40 Amo, the height of the Ulam, that was what Rabbi Yehuda was saying to the Chachamim, you should at least be molded to me on 40. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to go even as far as 50 is concerned. Kipischei Molochim, because the kings in their palaces have a gova in their psochim of 50 amma. Hare, mevuar, Rabbi Yehuda b'emes lomad gami Pesach ha'ulam. Rabbi Yehuda did derive something from Pesach ha'ulam, but that's only to upshlag, in order to argue lahashiv al divrei chachamim against the Tanakhama. Rav thought that that was the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how he came up with his shita, meaning that it's not 20 amma begova like the heichal, but it's 40 amma begova like the ulam. That's what Rav understood, and the truth is that although Rabbi Yehuda does consider Pesach HaUlam, and he's saying if you're going to look at the Beis Hamikdash and try to derive what is a Pesach and what's the Gova Pesach, I'm going to force you to look at the Ulam. But Rabbi Yehuda also added the Pischei Molochim to go even beyond the Ulam. The height of the Ulam would be maximum 40 Amos. Now we're going to 50 Amos, which are the Pischei Molochim. And as we said before, Rabbi Yehuda is also going to argue against the Chachom with regard to the Rochav, and he's going to allow for a Rochav Amavui, which is greater than 10 Amos. So the final maskana seems to be that the Tanakhama derives the height of a Pesach HaMavui from Pesach HaHeichel. Rabbi Yehuda derives the height of a Pesach of the Pesach HaMavui from the Molochim, from the kings. So the Gemara now says the following: V'rabbanon imi pischo shel Heichel gmiri, if indeed the Rabbanon derive a definition of a Pesach from Heichal, then guess what? We should add another condition to set up a Pesach. Libay delosos kea Heichal. Right? The Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash required doors, and we should require that in order to be metakein a Mavui, we should require that the Mavui have not only just a Pesach, but it has the Pesach with doors, with tlosos. Because the Heichal himself had... So why do you derive the height of the Pesach from the Heichal, and you don't derive the dalsos of the Heichal as far as the Mavui is concerned? Now, let's remind ourselves that at the time of the Akrovas HaKarbon, the dalsos of the Heichal were open. Do you remember that we had that derivation of Shmuel, that when do you start the process of the Avodas HaKorban? Only when you open up the doors of the Heichal. But nevertheless, it was a Pesach that had losos. Sometimes they were open, and sometimes they were closed. At night, for example, when the Bigdosh was closed for business, they closed the doors. But there were definitely doors in the Heichal. Of that, there's no doubt about it. That's why we talk about The day of Avoda begins with the Psichas HaDlosos. So quite obviously there were Dlosos. Aloma Tnan, why does it say in that Mishnah, Hechsher Mavoi, how you metakin a Mavoi in order to allow Tiltil in the Mavoi, Beit Shammai Omrim, Lechi, Vekora, Beit Shammai require a double Heker. You need both a Lechi and a Korah, Beisil Omrim Lechi O Korah. And then it says in the Mishnah that Dalsos Heichal Litznius Bi'alma Hu De'avidon, that the purpose and the function of the Dalsos of the Heichal was only Tzifitznius. In other words, so that no one should see what's going on inside the Heichal. We want privacy as we do the Avoda inside the Heichal. But it's not for the purpose of making it, or giving it the status of a Heichal. So we see clearly that... One second. So Alama Tnan, so wait a minute, what's Alama Tnan? Just give me a second to work out the mathematics. That Basil is telling us that all you need is a Lechi or a Korah, and the Dalsos of the Heichal Tzniusa B'Alma Hu Davidon. So how does that, just 1 second, how does that form the basis for the Gemara's Kasha here, Liboy Dalsos? Ah, I'm sorry, I didn't put the period in the right place. So the end of the Kasha is Ubeisil Omrim Lechi O Korah, but no mention of Dalsos. So if your paradigm of a Pesach is Pesach HaHeichal, then why don't you derive not only the Gova, the maximum Gova, which was Eser Amo, and the maximum Rochav, which was Eser Amo, you should also derive the requirement of Dalsos. And the Gemara answers, Dalsos HaHeichal Itznius B'Almahu Davidon. The Dlosos are not part and parcel of the Pesach HaHeichal. The Pesach HaHeichal exists with or without Dlosos. We need Dlosos for another reason, an external reason, and that is to guarantee the Tznius, meaning the privacy, of the Kohanim were doing the Avodah inside the Heichal. But that's not a precondition in setting up a Pesach. So as far as setting up a Pesach is concerned, we're going to say that the Dalsos are unnecessary, that the Pesach itself is the opening, and the Dalsos are only there for an external reason, but not in order to set up the Pesach. So let's just understand. The Shaklavitari of the Gemara is that the Gemara and the Kash understood that since the Heichal had a Pesach which was signaled off by Dlossos, therefore the definition of a Pesach requires Dlossos, and the Gemara's Maskon is no. The Pesach is a Pesach with or without Dlossos. We need the Dlossos for a secondary reason, not to as a precondition in setting up a Pesach, but rather in order to guarantee tznius. I'm inclined to think, I don't know, and this is a little bit sketchy on my part, that if, let's say, there were no dlossos in the Heichal, the avoda would still be avoda kshera, because again, it's only when the dlossos are closed that's when we're not allowed to do the avoda. But if you had no dlossos at all, which means it would be permanently open, that would be fine. It's just that you'd be lacking in guaranteeing tznius to the Kohanim, but I don't think that would be critical. That would be indispensable. I'm just throwing that out as a hashara. Now here in the note, he has a kasha, and he says, you know what, we don't really have time for this note, so maybe I'll leave this for tomorrow. Let's just read the end of the Gemara so we can sort of round out the Gemara for today. The Gemara says, Elameata, if indeed the Shitas Tanakama is to derive the Shir of Pesach in the Mavli case from the Pesach HaHechal is Lo Sehenile Tzuras HaPesach. The Gemara doesn't understand if the Mishnah tells us that if in event that the Mavli has a Rochav that's more than Eser Amos, then you can be Misakin the Mavli by putting up a Tzuras HaPesach. Right? Tzuras HaPesach means a Konamikan, and a Konal Gabeyan. So he says, I don't understand. The chol to a heichal tzuras haPesach havilo. The heichal itself had a tzuras haPesach, and yet, nevertheless, afilu hachi eser amos hu deravich. It was wide eser amos, but not more than eser amos. So it means that it could not be wider than eser amos, even though it had a tzuras haPesach. You're telling me that once it's a tzuras haPesach, I'm not limited and bound by the maximum rochav of eser amos. That's not true. Because Mimakom Shabbos, where are you deriving the halacha of Pesach from? You're deriving from the Heichal. The Heichal is a case that had a Tzuras HaPesach. Is Aloma Tnan, why does it say in our Mishnah, Im Yeshlo Tzuras HaPesach, Afal Pisha Rochav Meser Amos, Ein Tzorach Lemayit? That's really not true. The Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you if the width is more than 10 amos, and I'll prove it to you, because in the case of the Heichal, there was a Tzuras HaPesach, and yet the maximum Rochav was 10 amos. According to you, the Tzuras HaPesach should allow me to have a Rochav of more than 10 amos. And the Gemara answers, Midi hu taima el Rav. We didn't need this explanation to interpret our Mishnah, except according to Rav, who says the Chacham derived Pesach Mavui from Pesach Heichal. So it's only Rav's premise. Well, guess what? Rav would not have this question at all. Da Masni Le Rav Yehuda Lechia Barav Kame Derav. In other words, there's a certain teaching, a principle that was taught by Rav Yehuda to Chia, and this was all in the presence of Rav. That if the Mavui has a Tzuras HaPesach, then even if it's wider than Eser Amos, Eino Tzorach L'mayit, the Omer Lei, and guess what Rav said when he heard this? Asne, he changed the Girsa. And his Girsa was Tzorach L'mayit, which means that according to Rav's understanding, the Mishnah requires a maximum width of 10 amos, and not beyond 10 amos. And we're going to learn the shear and the different dimensions of a Pesach Mavui from the case of Pesach HaHeichal. And the Pesach HaHeichal was the Pesach HaHeichal was 10 amos wide, so you can't be wider than the Pesach HaHeichal. And the Pesach HaHeichal had what? Had a Tzuras HaPesach, and nevertheless its maximum width was 10 amos. So then it comes out that the way Rav understood Rav Yehuda and Mishnah was that Rav Yehuda would disagree not only with the Gova, and we said he disagrees also with the Rochav, but he also disagrees with the possibility, the leniency of solving our problems by setting up a Tzuras HaPesach, meaning that even if it's too wide, no problem, just set up a Tzuras HaPesach. No. According to Rav's version of Rabbi Yehuda holds that under all circumstances, tzarech lemait, even if there's a tzuras haPesach. And the reason for that is that if we derive the shear of the Pesach HaMavui from the Pesach of the Heichal, then therefore, just like there's a tzuras haPesach that's not kosher berochav, if it's more than 10 amos wide, just like the Pesach of the Heichal. So Lamaisa, Rabbi Yehuda, who's been mekel twice, he allows the gova for the mavui to be above 20 amos. He allows the width to be more than 10 amos. But as far as the Tzuras HaPesach is concerned, that Rabbi Yehuda could not allow. Rabbi Yehuda could not allow that the Tzuras HaPesach is going to solve my problem of a rochav that's greater than the shear of the rochav. Okay, then, so B'li Neder tomorrow, we're a little pressed for time today, but tomorrow we'll just review this last part of the sugya, but I think we made some pretty good progress today. Bezras Hashem. And if anyone